Let's just pray before I begin. Loving God, we pray for your wisdom. We pray for your inspiration. We pray for your word to become alive to us and inspire us. Amen. So, those of you who are very awake and on it will notice that although I said it is St. Philip's and St. James's feast day on Friday, we just read a passage that wasn't about St. Philip the Apostle. It was about the other St. Philip. So we don't know which St. Philip our church is named after, but we have the stained glass windows of St. Philip and St. James. So there's an assumption that it's St. Philip the Apostle, right? The one that was with the 12 with Jesus. But the other St. Philip the Evangelist, which is the one we just heard about today, he doesn't get a feast day in our church. And I think that's sad. So I like to claim both of them for us. So that's why we've had that reading today. But also, I think that reading has a lot of wisdom to give us when we are busy celebrating who we are as a church and what makes us St. Philip's Church. Because actually what we see in this passage is that God's kingdom plan, the action that the church takes, involves a lot of people. A lot of different people with different skills. There were people who needed to do the practical stuff of distributing food to make sure it was done fairly and equally. And there were people who needed to do the really big, deep theological stuff of seeing where God was at work and translating Jesus' words into the way we live our lives practically. So God's church is made up of many parts, and that's what we're going to think about today. So let's start with that model church, the early church. Now, I'm not saying that we should base our church and how we run exactly on the early church, and it should be our precise blueprint, because organizations grow and evolve, and the church certainly has in 2,000 years. But also, we are in a different time, a different culture, there are different priorities. So things will look slightly different to how the early church looked, but there is wisdom for us to learn. And the first thing to notice and to learn from is the number of people who were behind the scenes already by this point in the early church. So we're going to get some context this early on in Acts. So we are in chapter 6 only, the very beginning of Acts, but already the church has grown dramatically because we've had Pentecost and Peter's inspired sermon, which meant that 3,000 people joined them on that day alone. So we're already talking about a group of thousands of people. But they are all still based in Jerusalem. So they're geographically still all together in Jerusalem. They are operating as a sect of Judaism at this point. They call themselves the Way. That's how they are identifying who they are. They are living communally. They're sharing resources, sharing food, sharing money. But, of course, a dramatic increase in numbers will lead to a huge increase in diversity within the group. And always, when people are different and have different needs, tensions arise. And we live in the same kind of world with the same tensions. We live with huge diversity around us. So how do we manage ourselves and organize ourselves to work within that situation? What they do, what is laid out for us in this passage, is the 12 apostles, in their wisdom, say, they gather everyone together and they say, it's not right for us to be doing all of it. We can't do all of it. I'm going to gloss over the slight language that implies that they were too big to wait on tables. I find that I'm hoping that something's lost in translation there because it sounds incredibly arrogant. So I'm slightly glossing over that. But they are right. They can't do everything. That is the point. So they say to everyone, we can't do everything. You choose 7 people to lead you and to help serve you. They become deacons of the church, which just means servant. But in essence, they were leading in a certain way, in a very practical way. It's a bit like we did last week. We had our APCM. We chose 12 people, I'm just counting out, 13 people to be our PCC, to help make decisions for us. This is the model that the apostles set up. Choose people, men of faith, to lead you in this way. And this is where Philip pops up, our Philip the evangelist pops up. Different Philip to the one that had been disciple all along. And Stephen pop up as well. We know that name. Philip and Stephen come up again in Acts. Their story continues in quite dramatic ways. The other five, they don't come up again. We don't hear their names anymore. It's interesting. We might take note of that a little bit later. But these guys had obviously been displaying leadership qualities already in the church. I wonder, we don't know, were they really quite loud? Were they bold? Were they obvious leaders in a group? Or were they just quietly getting on with it and showed great humility and wisdom? We don't know how they came to everyone's attention, but these were the seven that were noticed and chosen to be leaders at that point. Now, I just want to think about St. Philip's now. Who do you notice in this church? Now, most probably, you notice me because I keep popping up and whispering on from up here. But I wonder who else you notice in this church. Maybe people in the music group. Maybe the people who welcome you at the door. Maybe the people who make you tea and coffee at the end of a service. All the people who are behind the scenes. Now, I want to celebrate all those people who are behind the scenes. So I just wonder if you are willing, if you are on the preaching or leading services rota, would you be willing to stand up? Okay. These are the people you might notice, obviously. But I want to add to their number. If you are on the Explorers Rota and help with our children's group, would you be willing to stand up, please? If you are involved in leading our music or singing for us on a Sunday morning, would you stand up, please? If you are on the Welcome Rota or the AV Rota on sounds or screens, would you stand up? The Registrar's Rota. Those people who count us in, count us out, count the money. If you're on the tea and coffee rota, would you be willing to stand up? If you're on the duty warden rota, would you be willing to stand up? Would you join them if you've read for us in a service or you've led us in intercessions for a service at any point? Now, I know there are lots of people who are standing who would, if they could, have stood up several times. Because there are many. But have a look around. These are the number of people, and I know many people are away because it's bank holiday weekend. These are the people it takes just to run the 10:30 service on a Sunday morning. This is the number of people it takes. Can we give them a big clap of thank you for all that they do behind the scenes week in, week out? Okay, you guys can sit down now. But you know that St. Philip's isn't just about Sunday morning, right? We are here all the rest of the days of the week as well. This isn't just a church for a Sunday morning at 10:30. We're going to think about Monday to Saturday now. If you're willing, please could you stand up if you help at Warm Spaces at any point on a Wednesday or a Thursday or a Friday. If you help host that space. Or a Saturday, I'm so sorry, I forgot Saturday. If you help at Phil's People, help people feel welcome and host, put away tables, put out chairs. If you help at Saturday Open Church, would you be willing to stand up too? If you help at the Brook House service each month, if you help at Wednesday Communion each month, each week even, if you lead a small group or a prayer group, if you're on the PCC, or you help with our banking, putting money in the bank, if you help with our safeguarding, Please stand. Okay, look, these are also extra people who have so much responsibility. This place, these people help us function as a place of worship and welcome, a place of safety and stewardship every day of the week. Please can we give them a huge thank you clap. Now, those are so far, I think, some of the more obvious roles. I just want to name a few people who do roles that you probably never even thought happened. Susan, would you be willing to stand up, please? Yeah. Every week, Susan is on her knees with a needle and thread, fixing and mending and sewing these chairs as they come apart. Every Wednesday, faithfully on her hands and knees, sewing for us. Roy, would you be willing to stand up? Every week, Roy brings his USB stick so that the recorded sermon can be put online so that those who can't be here on a Sunday can catch up with the sermon. Every week, faithfully, he does that. Jean is not here, but I think hopefully is on Zoom. Jean Pearson comes and cleans our brass whenever it gets dirty. She's there coming, cleaning. What about people who mow our lawn in our garden or clear the borders? Peter and Anchor and Bee, would you be willing to stand up as our gardeners? Peter's out nearly every week in the summer mowing our lawn to make sure it looks lovely. And Anchor and Bee, I know, are gardening all the time, keeping our place looking lovely. Now, stand up, those of you who came to our big spring clean and literally got your hands dirty to make this place look lovely, if you're willing to stand up. These are people who make the small behind-the-scenes difference to keep this church being a clean and safe place for us to be. Please can we give them a big thank you clap. You can sit down now. Enough making people embarrassed. But I wanted to prove that St. Philip's Church is not just made up of the people who stand at the front in a service, the people who you think of as leading. I would argue that the majority of people who make up this church and lead this church are the ones that you probably didn't realize were doing all those jobs. St. Philip's is mostly made up of people doing the practical stuff, like the deacons, like those seven, as they were chosen. Now, of course, those seven, for some of them, for Stephen and for Philip particularly, they went on to do other things. They started in a very practical role in their churches. In the church at that point, they were waiting on tables and distributing food. But they went on to do amazing evangelistic stuff. They preached, they spread the gospel. It was phenomenal. They started at a practical point and ended up with incredible ministry. The other five voices that the names that we heard, we don't hear of again. But that doesn't make their role any less powerful and important in that moment. The church is made up of a million different jobs. I actually counted up. I know we had people stand up earlier. I actually counted up for the work that we do now, specifically all week, but what we do at the moment, it takes 55 different roles to keep everything going, from services to warm spaces to work in schools and work in care homes. 55 different roles. That's quite a lot. And that isn't about all the extra stuff that we could do, all the opportunities that are out there for God to fill us, to send us on to fill. I believe passionately every single one of us who comes to church has a role in our church. God doesn't bring you here by accident. God brings you here to build up the body of Christ in this place. Every single one of you, all of us, have a gift, have a passion, have something that is needed in this place at this time. I really believe that every single person has a role to play in our church. For some people, it might be temporary as they're passing through, but it could be a word of encouragement that lasts forever. Whatever it is, God has not brought you here by accident. There is a role for you to do. We all have a part to play in building God's kingdom here on earth, growing God's church. So as we move into our more interactive thinking and responding to what I've talked about, I have some questions to ask. There are different ways to respond, as ever. So before the slide goes up, because it will distract everybody, I just want to go through them. If you are more active and creative, I genuinely don't know how many people will come and do this, and I say this in trepidation and ask you to be careful. You might want to literally build a building of a church out of people. If you want to get together as a group and build a church out of your own bodies, then that is a great way of imagining how the church is built up of people. Or, slightly less dangerous, I have St. Philip's Bingo here. I've got a grid of all sorts of different jobs, and I'm inviting you to go around and find somebody who does that job and get them to sign across the box and see if you can come up with 12, just checking my maths there, 12 different signatures on your St. Philip's Bingo. If, for example, it's got someone who leads singing, someone who's on the PCC. There you go. So if you want to come and do bingo, go for it. Or you might like to just sit and reflect and think. On your tables in front of you, there is a simple question. Is there a role at St. Philip's Church that you've always wanted to do and have never been asked? If there is, and you're thinking about it, put it down. And if you do actually genuinely want to be asked, you need to put your name on it and give it to me. But have a ponder. Is there something you would love to do and no one's ever asked you? I do my best to try and discern what everyone, where people's gifts are, but sometimes I need help and I need you to tell me what you'd love to do. So have a ponder about that one. It might be that there's a role that you can't see here. It doesn't mean it can't happen. Let's make a new role. Let's add to the 55. Or you might like to chat. Now, this is a big question. Do you think it's right that churches are essentially run on volunteers? Or do you think we should invest money to pay for people to do the roles? That's a big question and a big debate. And I would also love your feedback. If you're going to discuss that question, just let me know as I wander around so that I can also hear your feedback on that. So there we go, different ways to explore the idea of who we are as St. Philip's. Could we have the slide up, please, Tatiana, because it will help people to choose what they want to do. So we're going to have a few moments now to respond in our different ways and think about our church and how we all make it up and become a part of it.